Craig Sutledge. This is the fourth of our sessions discussing various aspects of the New Lutheran Church, which we will now, from henceforth, nevermore, I think, call the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Just to kind of summarize where we've been, for those of you who have not been here before, on January 1st, 1988, it is presumed that the ELCA will come into being. It will be a church body that will be the result of the merger of three existing church bodies, the LCA, the ALC, and the AELC. The church body will be a large one. It will be comprised of over 11,000 congregations in the U.S. and somewhat under 5.5 million members, 5,340,000 members. We have been looking at our first session. We looked at some of the hopes and fears that people had about the new church. We looked at what the church is called to do, its purpose, looked at its mission, its evangelism. And yesterday we looked at the ministry of the church, specifically the relation between the ministry of the whole people of God as it relates to and is the context for the specialized or ordained ministry of the church. This evening, as you probably know, we're going to be looking at another aspect of the church, and one that has created probably the most amount of discussion and argument outside of perhaps the headquarters site. That's another one that's created, but we're not going to talk about that. As a way of introducing it, let me say this. Yesterday, I shared with you the traditional four marks of the church. That is, the way the church through the ages has been understood. And those four marks, again, are unity, holiness, Catholicity, and apostolicity. Unity is self-evident, I think, that it demonstrates the oneness that is ours in Christ, the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Holiness, that the church is comprised of the people who are set apart in the world to be the presence of Christ. Apostolicity, we talked about yesterday, and that is to remain faithful to the witness of the apostles, to the risen Christ, through Scripture and the church's faith through the ages. Tonight, we're going to look at that third mark, Catholicity. And I want to start with that word because I think that's a word that is perhaps a better word, or at least a fuller word, than the word inclusive. When we think of the word inclusive, I think we all bring to mind a church that is the opposite of exclusive. That is, where no one is excluded, not because of their race or their sexual, who they are sexually, or their income, their nationality, their political views, whatever it is. That the church is an inclusive community of people. And that's really what the word Catholicity means too. It is a universal, all-inclusive fellowship of God's people. Well, to express this, the Commission for the New Church has proposed that the church intentionally state that it not only wants to be inclusive or Catholic in terms of its membership, but also in terms of its leadership. To give an example, more than half the membership of the church is women. Our women is female. And yet it's clear to everyone who looks, particularly beyond the congregations, and probably including most congregations, that the leadership of the church, its boards, its councils, its staffing, is not comprised of 50% or more of women. Another issue or example might be that of laity and clergy. We clergy comprise less than 1% of the membership of the church. And yet, it's certainly been true that in the past, and the church's leadership that it has been a clergy-led operation, almost to the exclusion of laypersons. So, because of this, the 70 commissioners working for this new church have proposed principles of organization. A part of what they say is this: this church, in faithfulness to the gospel, is committed to be an inclusive church in the midst of division in society. Through the cross of Christ, God has broken down the barriers that separate people from God and from one another. Through baptism, God makes us one people in Christ. Therefore, in their organization and outreach, the congregations, synods, and church-wide units of this church shall seek to exhibit the inclusive unity that is God's will for the church. The congregations, synods, and church-wide organization of this church are interdependent entities sharing responsibility in God's mission. And then, speaking specifically to the makeup, this is what the CNLC, the commission, is proposing. Except as otherwise provided in this constitution and bylaws, the church-wide organization, that is, the national organization, through the church council, shall establish processes that will ensure that at least 60% of the members of its assemblies, councils, committees, boards, and other organizational units shall be laypersons, and that as nearly as possible, 50% of the lay members of these groups shall be female and 50% shall be male. At least 10% of the members of these assemblies, councils, committees, boards, and so forth shall be persons of color and or persons whose primary language is other than English. Processes shall be developed that will assure that in selecting staff, there will be a balance of women and men, persons of color and persons whose primary language is other than English, lay persons, and persons on a roster of ministers. The same paragraph is then applied to synods. So at both the national level, the church-wide level, and at the synod level, what is being proposed is that 60% be laypersons, and that means delegates to a convention, members of a board, a committee, and so forth, the church council. That of this 60%, 50% be male and 50% female. And that 10% of the total be persons of color. And or whose primary language is other than English. Now, before anyone asks the question, I will try to answer it by saying this only applies to at the synod and churchwide level. There is not a mandate for congregations. The only time it applies to congregations is that when congregations send delegates to the synod convention, and for you who are ALC, remember that when I use the word synod, it's like the word district is now in the ALC, that when you send delegates to the synod convention, there will be at least two delegates, lay delegates from each congregation. One would be male and one female. That's the only time that the congregation itself is being given a representation figure like this. Now, when this came out, and since it's come out, there's been a lot of discussion about it. I think it raises issues for people, and we're going to have plenty of time for your comments, so don't worry about that. It raises response in people, not only theologically, but in terms of political kinds of feelings. For some people, it raises a theological issue. Should the church rely on the law rather than the gospel to achieve a goal that we assume is shared by everyone in the church? No one, at least I think publicly, has stood up and said, we don't want, or I don't want, an inclusive church. And yet, for some people, theological issues have been raised. For others, political kinds of feeling. This is like we tried in the federal government, and those are comments that have been said by many people. I've also, it's been interesting, and I want to share with you, because I stand before you, I'm clearly white, I'm clearly male, and I told you I'm a clergy person, so I'm a pastor. I've heard the biggest complaining from people in my group, and I say to them, and I'm not prepared yet to share exactly what my position is, but I'll give you a little hint, that since more than half of the members of the church are female, and less than 1% are clergy, I think that this is a kind of a generous, because clergy, see, we're up here, I've got to put this down, is that 40% of all these committees and boards and commissions and conventions will be clergy. And there is no assignment of a male-female distribution in clergy for the simple fact that we don't have very many female clergy yet. Okay, now, the latest, this has been out since for several months. The latest is the response of the LCA bishops and church council that I mentioned before, and now the ALC church council. The LCA bishops have proposed and are proposing to the CNLC that the lay clergy distribution remain the same, but that everything below that, this section here, male, female, and the 10% figure, be substituted by this statement. In the selection of members for assemblies, councils, boards, committees, and other governing bodies, intentional actions be taken in the nominating procedures so as to make possible fair representation of men and women, young and old, persons of color and or persons whose language is other than English, as well as persons whose lives are most directly affected by the decisions of the governing bodies. Okay, the key phrase is, in the selection of members, intentional actions be taken in the nominating procedures so as to make possible fair representation. That's the LCA bishops. The ALC Church Council has more recently stated something very similar, that similar in one sense, that for synod assemblies, not the national, but for synods, the wording be, in selecting such members, careful regard shall be observed for fair representation of, and in the same categories. So here's the breakdown. This is the CNLC's proposal. This is what is in the proposed constitution and bylaws. The LCA bishops have stated that all of this be wiped out for both synod and churchwide assemblies, boards, committees, and so forth, and that the only representation quota, I use that word for the first time, be the lay clergy distribution. The ALC, Church Council, has said they want to keep all of this for the national, the church-wide, but that for synods, to keep only this and include that line about fair representation. As a word of explanation, the rationale is that some synods, because of their geographical location, may have a great deal of difficulty, particularly with the 10% figure. But that they want, unlike the LCA bishops, they want the nation, the church-wide expression, to have these same figures because they believe it's necessary that the church discipline itself. Okay? Now, let me stop and ask if there's a question at this point simply about what's being proposed, either by the CNLC, the LCA bishops, or the ALC Church Council. I should mention that the LCA Church Council has not suggested changing this. The bishops did, the church council did not. Question about what's being proposed. Are we all clear about that? Yes.
Are these quotas they are proposing to be fixed, or could there be any flexibility there at all?
This is what's being proposed. The understanding is implicit that these will be, and it's the language is stated in different places. This is the goal. This is what it should be. And it may be, as I said before, that a synod in a given geographical area may take some time to get to that point. And that's understood. But these are the figures. This is the breakdown that's being proposed.
Did they ever consider a minority of handicaps?
That was discussed, but it was not ever included. Nor was the age factor included. That was also suggested, that should there be something about age groups, and the decision was no. I was not present at all the discussions of this, but I think that it finally came down to that they felt that the way we divide ourselves up, for example, persons with handicaps or the age thing, that will also come up from the church, but that this is so important that it needs to be stated. And again, the theological issue, and I'd like to make a point of this, I think, is that I don't expect, I mean, maybe there's someone here, maybe we'll find this out in discussion, who says the church shouldn't be Catholic or inclusive. It shouldn't have this inclusiveness. But I kind of doubt that. We all know that our Lord's, Jesus' call to go into the world was to reach all persons, to have all persons in the church. No one can be excluded. The issue is whether the church needs to discipline itself with the law so that the church changes an historical precedent, which is to have only certain groups be in leadership positions. And those are, for a long time, white male clergy, and even still, at this point, still predominantly very much white, and clergy over laity and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Where in the country did they have a problem filling the 10% minority?
There are, from what I understand, synods and districts.
They include everyone except for Anglos, right? That's anybody except for Anglos.
Yeah. Yes. Northern Minnesota. There's your answer. Okay, so we're clear about the suggestion. You've listened to what I've had to say briefly. I've got some more to say at the end, but for now, I'd like to hear what you all think about this. What do we need to do as church? Do we need any of this? Some of this? All of it? Should we say something more? It's up to you. This is a mixture of a presentation and a forum. We'll have Elmer be moderator if I get too excited about it.
Well, the clergy is going to be one % your pastors and all are only 1%. When they have a tough time getting their 40% representation?
Oh, there's lots of clergy around that go to meetings and are on boards and stuff. No, seriously, the way it would work, for example, a synod convention, all of our churches have a long-standing tradition that pastors are voting members of assemblies. And in fact, the way the numbers are going to be set, quite frankly, is that say a synod has 200 clergy who will be voting at a convention, and that's 40%, so you better be sure that you have, 200 and, or 300, whatever that figure is. I'm terrible in percentages. That number of lay, at least that number of laypersons. So they're saying that there'll always be no more than 40% clergy. You see, right now, in the LCA, there are convention, there are higher percentages of clergy who are voting. I'm not sure about the ALC, someone might want to help me with that. Wayne, what's the usual makeup in this? In the LCA and the AELC, I know that if you have a vote by virtue of being a parish pastor. Now, and all clergy are not voting. In the LCA, all clergy do vote. Even retired clergy vote. In the AELC, it's one clergy person from every congregation. LCA is what? Does anyone know? I think every pastor votes.
LCA, everybody votes. ALC, you have to have call the congregation to vote.
Yeah. So this in effect, will change, except for the AELC, which already has this in operation. This will mean more lay representation at conventions. And definitely, I think, more lay representation in boards and committees and so forth. There will be no group other than, I guess, the group, the College of Bishops, or whatever they're going to call themselves, the Council of Bishops. The Council of Bishops will be, of course, all clergy, by definition. That'll be the only group in the church that will have a majority of clergy in it.
Will the congregation, the pastor of the congregation, have one vote, whether there's one pastor there or three pastors? Or will the one with three pastors get three votes?
No, I believe it's one clergy vote only from a congregation. And that'll be at least two laypersons from every congregation, and then more votes depending on the size. And every synod will decide its own representation. But always they've got it's a balance, so it comes out that 60-40%.
Will any group have voice but not vote?
Right now, one of the issues that the LCA is concerned about are there retired clergy that they would not have vote unless they were elected as a, well, it couldn't be a lay delegate, but they would be without vote. They'd be disenfranchised. And some of the LCA clergy, retired clergy, are not happy about this. The other ministers of the church, if I may use that AELC term at this point, teachers, deaconesses, and the like, would have, under the proposed constitution, would caucus and elect a voting representative for them. Under the LCA's suggestion, the bishops, they could only be elected as a lay delegate. They couldn't be elected otherwise, or they couldn't vote otherwise. That's clear. Mm-hmm.
Those two delegates from each parish, is that to a synodical convention?
Yes.
And if
yes.
So, how do they select delegates to the national convention?
I'm not completely certain on the procedure of that. I have to look it up. I was afraid somebody might ask that. I think it's going to be done in the synods, that the synods would elect the delegates to the National Assembly. And that in electing those delegates, they would follow the same procedure. Wayne?
I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And one of the things that keeps coming to me is that this concern about the quota system, and we've had other experiences in other areas of life where quota systems don't work. And I have a suspicion that it probably is not going to work in the new Lutheran Church. We're going to have a lot of problems with it. And it's going to present a lot of confusion and those kinds of things. But I'm still convinced that that's what we have to do. Even if it's not going to work, or even if we should have some doubts about it, or even if we're going to have problems with it, I think that that's the place we have to start. But that's not where we're going to stay. I mean, the Spirit has always worked in the church to lead us to some kind of wisdom to make changes when we have to make changes and to do something better. But this is a start. And for the first time, the church is demonstrating that it is going to be intentional about doing what it says it's going to do. I mean, or what it says it's about. And we've never done that before. And what I keep hearing, I think the anxiety, in a way, is clouding the argument, or it's clouding the issue. And in a way, it's like a lot of things. We look ahead and say, oh, it's going to fail, so then we don't do anything. And I think that's part of what's happening to us with this issue. And so I would like to suggest that maybe we all admit and say from the beginning, yeah, it's going to have a lot of problems. And it's going to cause a lot of confusion because it's something we've never done before. But at least it's a start to move us in the right direction.
Yes?
Where do the bishops fit into this? Do they have to come in at 40% clergy?
Yes. Their exact role in the church-wide meetings is, again, under discussion, because at this point they would be not voting members. They're stating that they would like to be voting members at church-wide assemblies.
I noticed that the council of bishops, the LCA, is a backup. The new proposal is that this would be one of the organizations within the hierarchy. Council of bishops.
Yeah, we Lutherans don't like that word hierarchy, there would be a conference of bishops.
Okay.
And the bishops would meet together, I think, a couple times a year, and they're going to have a couple staff people to get them organized. But there would be primarily a group that would offer suggestions and leadership in the church. It's that it has no legislative authority.
At the present, in ALC, bishops do not have votes on convention floor. They're advisory only, and I think in LCA they do have votes in convention.
I think that's correct. Yes?
What would be the percentage of the total church membership that would be eligible for that 10% persons of color in the primary?
In other words, what's the makeup of the church now?
Mm-hmm. Like you say, we're 50% female, male. And so that's reflected, but we aren't 10%.
No. Only because it's a much smaller group. The AELC comes closest to that percentage, but still doesn't make it. And the LCA and ALC are both, I'm trying to remember now, 2% minority population representation or membership.
But if we can get 40% clergy representation when there are only 1% of our makeup, why can't we get 10% of persons of color when there are only 2% of our makeup?
Good point.
Yeah.
I think, as I have heard some of the arguments, I come from Chicago, and we have. One of our congregations, AELC congregations in Chicago, is black, and the people there are saying, if you're serious about wanting to minister to black people, then show us that you don't just want us to be on your rolls, but that you want us to assume positions of responsibility and leadership. And as was said before, it's not been done before. But it would certainly give a clear signal that this church, this new church of ours, is serious about this. And I already know that there are problems. I've already been involved in the process of nominating persons for the Constituent Convention. And we're already using these criteria. And it means you have to look very carefully. It was an interesting experience to sit down in a nominating situation and say, we need to nominate this number of people and we want to do it in this way. And, you know, we all were saying to each other, well, of course, we've always been inclusive and we know we want so many people of color and we want women and we want lay people. But when you actually have this staring you in the face, it's a bit more of a push. And there is a difference. And I love the quote, one of the ALC church council members, and I find it fascinating, he's from North Dakota, says that inclusive representation at the national level, the exact quote is, at the national level we need to use numbers to discipline ourselves. And I go back to the comment I made earlier, that for some people it's offensive. It's a theological problem that we are using the law rather than the gospel. Well, we can say, well, we'll do what we ought to do because the gospel will move us to do that. What we're saying in this is that, well, we know the gospel does move us, but right now we need this to discipline ourselves.
It seems to me that being a congregation in this new church that has this kind of intentionality might make a difference. In other words, that I think the congregation might look at itself and say, well, how are we put together? And who is our leadership? Because as I get around congregations, I think that our churches have a ways to go yet to have this kind of a picture. Some congregations are already there, have been there for a long time, but others are not. I think this too will be a benefit, because, you know, while nothing is being mandated to congregations, it will be help a congregation to look at itself in light of the whole church. I just kind of have this picture in my mind that God is watching this and saying, well, I wonder if these folks are going to catch on, that this world that I've created is a world of such wonderful diversity, and if they're going to be able to break out of their Scandinavian Germanic ghetto and see that the world is so much broader. And I suspect that God will say, well, you know, if they kind of catch on even a little bit, the Spirit will... I believe that. I think that our part of it right now is to say, as church, this is what we want to be. And we may not be... It's rough-hewn. We know we're going to have problems. I appreciate that comment earlier. And it's too bad that we have to use the law on ourselves. I'm talking about law gospel, that we have to say, this is what we need to say to ourselves. But that once we admit that we need that, maybe the need won't be very long. What I'm saying is that maybe the need for the law will no longer be a need, because in the process of making that acknowledgement and making that determination, we will find ourselves doing what we should have been doing all along. And I think that was the comment earlier, that we're going to have problems with it. There's no question about it. And it may very well be that the final proposal will be something closer to what the ALC Church Council is proposing than what the CNLC is proposing.
But the church is a small group of minorities. So the minorities are going to be the ones that are going by it.
Yeah, that's quite possible. It's a very astute observation, I think, and I think that again is more of an impelling that we reach out in a more effective way to the minority person. As has been observed earlier, you know, no one, I haven't heard anyone yet tonight question that lay clergy thing.
Does this mean that 10%
of the
clergy
is out of the whole group? 10% of the 100%.
Yeah.
So part could be, I mean, some will be clergy and some will be lay.
I mean, 10% of the whole is going to be
it's the same reason that's not being done, is we're not applying this 50-50 to the clergy, as I said before. because, you know, it would be very difficult.
Well, all of them are not making money quite either. So,
right.
On the whole, overall, though, all you say there is 10% and that's 15%, and then down below you say 10%.
Yeah. This applies to this. Could be, I don't think they.
I don't think that's more than you can do.
What's here? This, see, this is. Does that make it any clearer? That of the lay representation, half is male and half is female. Of the total representation, 10% would be persons of color.
Either they will be male or female.
That's correct. I think that the trade representation will be both males and females, and both whites and people of color. Yeah, our little church body, our presiding bishop is black, so and that's not been a problem either. So I certainly expect that we'll have more than one black. Well, we have two now in the country. There are two black bishops in the U.S. Lutheran churches now. One's ALC and one's AELC. Anybody else?
That's what we call the black.
Right. No, that's their preference. The persons of color means anyone other than white, and that phrase, that title is what the people of color said to the church they prefer, rather than saying black Americans or Hispanic Americans or Native Americans. To say persons of color. And you know, it's clear, churches, the Lutheran churches in the Dakotas will have more persons of color who are Native Americans than who are black, I would assume. The churches in the Southwest may have more Hispanic members than, or as many of them than black, and so forth. Yeah. For those of you who didn't hear that comment, we may have some Norwegian delegates whose primary language is Norwegian, not English. Let me close with just a couple of comments. First of all, just a show of hands. I was asked this earlier in the session, and it would be helpful. I'll be at the commission meeting, which is going to be in Seattle at the end of this month. And just for my own information, I'd like to have a show of hands. I counted before, there are close to 50 of us here. How many of you are in favor of the LCA bishop's recommendation, which would leave the 60% lay, 40% clergy, but drop everything else? How many of you are in favor of that position? Raise your hand. Okay, one. How many of you are in favor of the ALC Church Council recommendation, which would be to have for synod convention the lay, clergy, male, female, but not the 10% person of color representation? Raise your hand on that one. For synod assembly. And the nation the national would include all of this. Synod only is the limited one. Okay? I see. Two, three. About 10. How many of you are in favor of the CNLC proposal that would include this criteria for both synod and national assemblies? Raise your hand. That's the majority.
In fact, are they going to get training for the next one? They don't have to do it.
That's 2 points. See, that's why you all should be at the commission meeting too. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. I don't know that I can't answer the question about why it was. I can only guess is that the number of female clergy is still so small that it would be a problem.
It could be,
and what I think though is it's already what I see is that female clergy are clearly moving into positions of leadership, and the church will want that. Yeah.
Well, that will come with a 50% delay, because there will be more women as it used to have women in there.
I hear the thin ice cracking as you talk.
Well, they have been. Women, well, why should they do it? They couldn't follow up, or they couldn't be elected, for instance, or selected.
I think that the more women in leadership in church, the more women are going to want to be involved. And I think that will be a signal also to women, because to this point, our female clergy have had difficulty in assuming positions of leadership. They have not gotten the number of congregations that were they're not as many head pastors. They typically are in assistantships and so forth. And the church has got a lot of changing to do on that too. No question about it. Let me just conclude. I appreciate your comments very much. I'd like to just conclude with a quote from Gerhard Forty that I'm going to use it in this way. What I said before is that I do believe that now we need this, and I think the church will act on it, that we will have something, whether it's the ALC, LCA, or CNLC model. But even in the process, we have all acknowledged that we have not been where we want to be, and that we want to be who the church should be. And Gerhard Forty reminds us, finally, that we as church should be a church that is premised on the wild, wild belief that the gospel ultimately saves the world, not the law, that the gospel inspires spontaneous and free doing of the good. And we believe that. And I believe that as we find ourselves intentionally inclusive, that we will find that the gospel moves us even more to be more fully that church that we want to be. Thank you very much tonight.